Welcome back to the table. And today in our Bible study segment in the Gospel of Mark, we're starting chapter 4. And you'll find all of our previous lessons still on our Bible studies tab. They'll live there forever. And you can go and help yourself to the notes and the podcasts and take these lessons. But Connie Stample is here. She's been our teacher for this Gospel of Mark. Connie, what will we be learning about today?
Well, we are going to start into Jesus' parables. And today it's going to be the parable of the sower. So we are in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20, and I will read part of the scripture here, talk about it a little bit, and then we'll get into Jesus' explanation of what it means, because I'm so glad he told us what it means. It might have been a little tough for us to figure out otherwise. And so Mark chapter 4 begins, "Again he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, 'Listen, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil, and it produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" We find in this passage that the Lord is starting to teach in parables. And throughout the Gospels, we know he often spoke in parables. Mark only recounts 4 of them, and they're all in this chapter. And really what we have come to understand is that a parable is a story, but it's a story with a message. And Jesus used parables, and he explains why he does. He did it because the message of the kingdom was, in a sense, veiled or hidden to those with hard, obstinate, rebellious hearts who did not want to listen or hear. But for those who were seeking God's kingdom, who had open and honest and receptive hearts, especially when they came to Jesus and asked for an explanation, as his disciples did, he would explain, and what was hidden would be revealed to them. And here we have this first story, and he's using something from agriculture, which everyone could understand, but the meaning was what they weren't getting. And so in a short time, Jesus is going to explain it to them. Just also want to point out again, here he is by the seaside teaching, and a great crowd is around him. We notice again, he's got increasing popularity. And this is again, in contrast to the rising opposition of those who do not follow him or believe that he is from God. We are now going to talk just a little bit more about this idea of the fruit before we get into the explanation of the passage. And interestingly enough, when, at least in those times, when someone went out to sow, if they planted their field and they got a crop and they got an increase of 5 to 15-fold, about 10-fold, they would be very happy. That was a good crop. Sometimes God abundantly blessed. We know that when Isaac in Genesis sowed a field, he received a crop that was 100-fold, which would be 10 times as much as you'd expect. And so a 100-fold crop, a 60-fold crop, a 30-fold crop, those are all abundant fruit, a really healthy, good crop. Now I'm going to read the rest of the passage here that we're studying today from 10 to 20, and it's going to be Jesus explaining that parable and what he's doing again in the parables. So verse 10 says, "And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.'" And that is a quote from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And it talked about how back in Isaiah's day and then here in the Messiah's day, some people are blinded by unbelief. And it has to do with the state of their hearts. And then verse 13, the Lord said, "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables?'" And so what he's saying is, so you didn't get this one. Okay, how are you going to come to understand the other ones that I'm going to be telling you? And then he explains verse 14. He says, "The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them." And so Jesus is saying the sower, meaning the person spreading the word of God himself mostly, but probably by implication also all those who would follow, who would spread the word. they sow the word of God, the word of the gospel, the word of his kingdom. And then it says in this first part that where the word is sown, if it's sown along the path, it's on the hard packed ground and it has no way to take root and grow. And what happens then is Satan comes along and he takes it away. And so someone might hear God's word, but immediately it's gone. It doesn't stick and it doesn't have any effect. And then in verse 16, the Lord says, "And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away." So there's a second group of people, hearers of the word, who receive it quickly with joy for a little while until it causes them some trouble, some hardship because of following Jesus, or it's saying that they're a believer, they are persecuted. And so it says they immediately they fall away. And so they have no persistence in God's word. And then verse 19 says, "And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." And so this is a third group of hearers who have thorns. It's thorny ground, and those thorns choke out the pure word of God. And so they don't obey. They don't do God's will because they start caring about the world and about material things. And the worldly things are more important to them than God's word. And it says that they are unfruitful. And then verse 20, the Lord says, "But those who are sown on the good soil and are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold." So the Lord is saying that the ones with the good soil are the ones with open, receptive hearts who take God's word and then do it. And it's a showing that those who truly belong to Jesus, who have been born again and are his children, desire his word, take his word, obey it, and then they persist in that word. And ultimately, their purpose is to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Makes us think of John chapter 15, where the Lord says, "Abide in me and you will bear much fruit," and that's to the glory of the Father. And so we look at those passages and we know that Jesus desires all of us to be good soil and to bear fruit for him. But it really has to do with the state of our hearts. Are we receptive to God's word? Do we desire to do it? Are we obedient? Or are we in a different way doing our own thing? We do know God's word has great purpose. It accomplishes that which it is set out to do. And so I'm going to read a portion from Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. It says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." And then in Jeremiah, the prophet warns the people of Judah and tells them that they need to be careful about the condition of their heart. They need to have open, receptive hearts to the Lord, because at that time in Judah's history, they had fallen away from God and rejected them. So Jeremiah said to the men of Judah in Jeremiah 4, verses 3 and 4, "Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, remove the foreskin of your hearts, O men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds." And the thought again is to be a person with an inward heart toward God that desires God's word and God's ways, not external ritual, but doing things God's way. One more principle probably from this this passage of scripture here in Mark really has to do with God's word. When God's word goes out, it accomplishes a purpose. And we see that throughout scripture. To those who hear it, it changes them and they grow to know God and follow him and love him. To those who reject it, it actually hardens their heart and makes them more rebellious in turning away from him. And we are responsible, each and every one of us, what we do with God's word.
Oh, we sure are. Thank you so much, Connie. And by the way, ladies, if you don't want to listen again to the entire podcast of Naomi's Table, we've recorded these in separate 10-minute segments that you can use for your own Bible studies along with the notes. All of that is on our website at naomistable.com. More about this when we come back.